Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The two of us were inseparable at uni, weren't we? It was like three straight years of pure jokes that continue to this day. Only that life happens and things change. I still remember the night you called me to tell me your dad had passed away. And I've never been sure if I'm saying the right thing or not, or if I'm there enough for you. I hope you know that I'll always be there to talk day or night, and that I'd drop anything at any time for you, just like you would for me. I'm really grateful for that, and I keep my inner circle really tight, and we're all like that with each other, aren't we?
Welcome to Love Letter to My Friend, the podcast where friends write and share letters of love and thanks with each other. Hosted by me, Lisa Smazarski,
and her friend, Alex Walker.
Today, we're joined by Ravneet Gill, pastry chef, food writer, author, and the founder of CounterTalk, a platform designed to help connect chefs, provide education, and promote healthy work environments in the hospitality industry. When she's not doing all of that, she's the baking columnist for The Telegraph and regularly shares her mouth-watering bakes on her Ravneet Eats Instagram account. Today, she's writing to her friend of 12 years, Natalie Dormer, who she first met at Southampton University. Like many friends who met at that time, Rav and Nat were united by a shared love of nights out and pasta bakes. But their inseparability at university travelled past graduation, and their friendship has seen them navigate the highs and lows of adult life, including the grief of losing Nat's father. Rav and Nat, thank you so much for joining you today. It's so lovely to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited.
Super excited. Thank you so much.
I'm going to kick off actually and ask just a little bit about your friendship before we go into the letter. How long have you both been friends?
Oh, God.
So long, since, you can't remember.
Yeah. Since we were 18, how old is that? 12 years? 12 years.
Yeah. And you met at university, is that right?
We met on the first day of university.
Oh. It's so funny.
Classic moment.
It is.
Yeah.
One of my closest friends I met on my very first day. And then I decided, don't need anyone else, she'll do for the rest.
And we've been like glued to each other ever since that first day. It's insane.
Well, we are so looking forward to reading your letter. So, Rav, shall we get going?
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous.
It is a little bit nerve-wracking, but I assure you it's worth it.
All right. Okay. Dear Natalie, as well as doubling up as my personal bodyguard, spokeswoman, occasional agent, you're one of my best friends. Even though the first day I met you, you were wearing a pair of glasses that I soon realised were completely fake with no lenses, I still wanted to be your mate. We met on the first day of uni in Southampton in the halls that no one else wanted to be in. The random ones in the middle of town that each had an ensuite bathroom and meant that none of us actually went to uni. Instead, we would spend our days shopping, eating, throwing parties and going to parties every single day. We made a lot of pasta bake. We both turned vegetarian by accident. And you were as obsessed with mushrooms and apples as you are now. It's silly. You still don't eat chocolate, which is one of the things that irritates me the most about you, but you will eat white chocolate biscuits from M&S, which is progress. Snogging all the boys, making cocktails in clean mop buckets, playing as many drinking games as possible, you are the one that everyone wanted at the party. Even though to this day I don't drink alcohol, we bonded in a way that allowed me to observe the obscenities of these parties, to relay them to you the next day. Even when you're completely pissed, you'd snap out of it in an instant, if anyone so much laid a finger on me in a club. I can't count the number of times you've had to scoop me up or pluck me out of a crowd when next hype came on in the club. We would try really hard to walk to uni in the mornings for our lectures, only to never quite make it there because of how slow we would shuffle there, or because we would end up bumping into so many people along the way, chatting to them, only to then have a dinner table full of people we had ran into in the day, much to the annoyance of our other housemates. The two of us were inseparable at uni, weren't we? It was like 3 straight years of pure jokes that continue to this day. Only that life happens and things change. I still remember the night you called me to tell me your dad had passed away. And I've never been sure if I'm saying the right thing or not, or if I'm there enough for you. I hope you know that I'll always be there to talk day or night, and that I'd drop anything at any time for you, just like you would for me. I'm really grateful for that, and I keep my inner circle really tight, and we're all like that with each other, aren't we? Nat, you seem to know what I'm thinking and what I should do in a situation before I've opened my mouth. You'll annoyingly predict what will happen, and I know because you'll respond with, to a story I'm telling you when I assert, yeah, but I'm definitely not going to do it. A few months later, I'll come crawling back and say exactly what you predicted happened. And you'll shout, see? And enthusiastically move your arms around and shout a bit before laughing your head off. Nat, you're literally the proud mum that my mum struggles to be, always cheering me on and making a fuss about my achievements. At parties, I love to boast, this is Nat. She's like the head teacher of a whole school, you know, to which you will always correct me, assistant head. Okay, but it's the same thing. Nat, you're bloody powerful, but you don't always recognise it, and I wish you would. Everyone who meets you seems to get struck by it, and you've got an infectious energy about you. I've had a rocky few years, navigating kitchens, team dynamics, launching 2 companies, writing books, and through all of my difficulty, all the self-doubt and stress, Nat, you've been the voice of reason. Alongside Sarah, we make up this trio when we're together, and I think we keep each other grounded. You two are always reminding me to stay gracious, Rav, when my hot head means that I run silly ideas past you. Really far-fetched, silly ideas. And you bring me back down to earth when I need it and encourage me when it's right. I say that you should be my spokeswoman, as you always know what to say and how to say it. I love you, and I hope we grow old and still crack the same jokes, eat the same food, and go on silly holidays together. I'll still continue to make the same mistakes, and you'll be there to tell me you told me so. Thank you for being my friend and keeping me out of trouble. And P.S. I'm sorry I bought you a terrapin as a birthday present. I really didn't think it would live this long.
That is so brilliant. That is what a lovely letter, Rav. Thank you so much for sharing that.
It just made me smile the whole way through. Because
I know, me too. Yeah. I'm just like, this is the best friendship ever. Nat, how did that feel to hear it?
I was literally cracking up as well. It's genuinely so nice to hear, and I don't know, parts made me a little bit emotional. I'm not really an emotional person, but
they were emotional though. I mean, something that's not emotional, but I have to start with, tell me about the terrapin.
Michelangelo. She always says terrapin, he's an aquatic turtle, right? Oh, God, he will live. He'll probably outlive me. I'll have to write him in my will to future people. At the moment, he would go to my sister. She's probably not very happy about that. So, like, yeah, he just lives. He's going to live forever, but he is adorable. So,
I mean, what is the logic of buying someone an aquatic turtle?
My friend was just told me she was selling this turtle. And I just said, I'll buy it. And it came in this, like, little box. And then I kept it in my friend's room until it was Nat's birthday, and then gave it to Nat as a present. And then Nat has since had to invest so much money.
Was she a turtle fan? There was no inkling that maybe she was going to be the lifelong owner of a turtle.
And Nat had to spend so much to buy all these elaborate fish tanks, and then only like halfway through, I think it was like 4 years in, you found out that it wasn't a terrapin.
Yeah, it was when I broke the tank. I pierced it on a banister and water went all over my mum's floor. And I then had to go and buy the second out of now four tanks that I've had to buy. And the guy in the pet shop literally was essentially shouting at me, slating me for not knowing that it was an aquatic vessel.
My friend bought it for me.
My mum curses you all the time, Rav, that you bought it. She was like, why didn't she just buy the hamster that she said she was going to buy you?
Goldfish. I mean, I'm just thinking pets for friendship presents. Maybe not. Quite a duty. Anyway, let's go back to those university days. Obviously, Rav brilliantly summed up your specs that she discovered had no lenses. But what were your first impressions of Rav when you met her?
That she was just super kind and super excitable as well. She was just really adorable. She's just like a little pocket of energy. And I kind of kept myself to myself a little bit. And if it wasn't for her kind of drawing me out, yeah, she was just super kind, super friendly, super out there all the time and always laughing, as she always does now as well. So nothing's really changed there.
Yeah, which is nice. I mean, there's definitely an energy about your friendship, which is pretty unique. Is it just laughter all the time?
A lot of the time.
Pretty much, yeah. Just a lot of laughter.
We've talked about this a bit, Alex and I, because there are some friends where it's just all about the bants and it's like, you know, you can just share a word and you are both in stitches because you've got all this shared history. Is that how you would describe your friendship? Is that how it's built or has it evolved over the years?
I would say that it's like really funny, but actually I tell Nat everything. Everything and anything, because I know that she won't judge me. So actually, Nat knows all the things I probably wouldn't even tell other people.
Yeah.
Nat knows it, you know?
She sounds like your cheerleader as well. You've talked a lot about how she picked you up and plucked you out of crowds and trouble. She sounds like you feel like you're very safe in her presence.
Very much so. And like, I also feel like sometimes externally, if things look like they're going really well or something, you know, like I remember when I got this really great job last year, I told Nat about it. But really inside, I was terrified and hating it. And the person I would call is Nat. To be like, actually, I really hate it. And this is really hard. And then Nat will be like my mentor. She'll be like, okay, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to have this tricky conversation. Have you done this? And she will like check up on me. So we have a lot of laughs, but she's also the voice of reason, you know?
Are they the characters that you play in your friendship then? Is Nat always the voice of reason or can you switch roles?
We definitely switch because pretty much everything that Rav's just said about me, I would say exactly the same about her. There are so many things that I'll tell her without, and she won't have any judgment for me whatsoever. And she gives really great advice and she's also just always there to listen. She thinks she's not saying the right things, but she always is saying the right things. So,
yeah, I mean, I thought that was a really important moment, actually, in your letter, Rav, where you talk about trying to help Nat with the loss of her father and not knowing what to say, which is an incredibly honest reaction, actually. Nat, for you, what was that experience and how Rav supported you through that life?
She was kind of the biggest support I had during that time. I literally told her everything. It was just a stream of consciousness of all my thoughts, pretty much a day and night, that she listened to and responded to so well. There's so many things that she did for me during that time that just I can't even put into words how important they were to me at that time and still to this day. Things that I still remember still to this day that she just did an amazing job. So things like she organized a massive party with all of our friends for my birthday. I'm not a birthday person. I'm born the day before New Year's Eve, which is like a So I never make a big deal out of it. Yeah, really important. She organized a big party for all of my friends, a surprise one. In Manchester. So we even traveled to Manchester, which was really nice. And it sounds like something small, but it was actually something huge for me. And it was really important during that time because I was having a really difficult time and she was there for me and realised that that's what I needed. And I didn't even know that I needed that.
That's a true friend, though, who knows what you need. You know, there is no right thing, I guess, to say, is there? But it's just knowing what you need and how to be there for you. going back to university, you talked about how much of your friendship was partying and alcohol and mop buckets with drinks in them. How was it like for you, Rav, navigating that when you don't actually drink and watching, you know, I've been the sober one a lot and watching that kind of unfold as a non-drinker?
Well, I think because I've never drank and I've never been drunk, that when I first started, I thought it was completely normal that I wasn't drinking and everyone else was drinking and that it was fine. And then as it sort of, you know, I got more into uni, I started getting so many people questioning it, being like, why don't you drink? Have a drink. And I used to get it pushed on me so much. But actually, Nat would be the one to be like, she doesn't drink. And it's okay. And like, Nat would always like step in front and make it like very known. And even recently, we're in a bar and I think I said something like, everyone was drinking. And I said, okay, I'll have an espresso martini. I don't know why I said it. And Nat was like, no, she won't. She's like, we'll have a coffee.
We all need one of those friends.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know, it's hard to be different sometimes, isn't it? And the fact that your friend is prepared to back you up in that as well and, you know, take your fights on for you. Yeah. I love it.
And also that reaps the benefits, because now when we go out to fancy restaurants and we get sent drinks, I just like slyly scoop it over to her.
Nat, for you, was it a blessing or a curse that Rav could remember all of these nights out?
Oh, God. I feel like it's a little bit of both. The amount that Rav recounts different things is ridiculous. Me falling down a lot of stairs, twisting a lot of ankles in ridiculously high heels as well. I don't know. I think it's a little bit of both, because usually I remember, I'm never that drunk that I don't remember what's happened, but she remembers it in crystal clear clarity. And that sometimes is a bit like, whoa. Okay.
Yeah, I must admit, I mean, that is similar to you and I, Alex, in that
sometimes.
Often you'll be like, do you remember we had that long conversation about that? I'm like, talk me through it again. Just talk me through it.
I'm more like, nah, don't need to know.
Yeah, so frequently. It's done now. I'd love that you described that time as 3 years of pure jokes. It's also, I think that's what's so infectious about your friendship. Do you think in those early days you ever held back on the emotion? Do you think that came later through the experiences that you had? Or do you think actually that was there from the start?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I don't know, I felt that I navigated loads at uni, like lots of different things and lots of different relationships and friendships. And I was just told Nat everything from day one, whether she wanted to know it or not. I would just tell
her. You're a sharer, Nat. You're a sharer.
Only like with very specific people. And for some reason, even if she didn't like it, I was going to tell her. But, you know, we just sort of really bonded over that, because we used to spend so much time avoiding going into uni that we
I mean, did you guys graduate? I'm curious to know that.
We did. Rav got very, in second and third year, Rav was super you serious dragging back. Me to the library. Yeah. But
yeah.
Just a hedonistic year at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know what? The thing that irritates me about Nat is that she's one of those people that doesn't study, she doesn't have to, and she'll walk into an exam and do really well. I will have studied like heavily and then done maybe like the same as her or less. It's like, blows my mind. Nat would always, we'd have like an assignment due in and I would have got it done 2 weeks in advance. And then the night before, Nat is like smashing it out, you know, doing an all-nighter, getting it done. And it used to drive me mad.
My uni was just all-nighters. That's the only time I ever did work was the night before. Yeah.
You use the expression, we keep our inner circle really tight, which stood out to me. And I could really understand that, not least because actually in our first episode of this series, I said to Alex that when I met her and we started to become friends, it was a bit like Meet the Fockers. And I couldn't, you know, how do you get into the inner circle? It was like, it was just so, but she, you know, once you're in and it's all completely tight. Is that what it meant for you? Was it just about, these are my people and I'm backing my people? Or do you translate that in a different way?
Yeah, I think it's an element of trust. Once the inner circle is there, you can share anything and everything with the inner circle. You don't have to think about what you're saying. It can just come out unfiltered. I tend to not be very good at speaking if I have to filter it in any way, shape or form. So having an inner circle is really important, of people that you can trust and tell things to. People that will also just be honest with you, because there's obviously a lot of people in the world that will tell you things because it's what you want to hear rather than something that would actually help you. So I think that's why having a really tight inner circle is important. And if they've been vetted by Rav, then I know that they're great people.
So. I mean, actually, Rav, you used the expression no judgment as well. And I think that's not always the case in friendships, actually. You know, sometimes there can be that level. Is that why you think you became so close so quickly? Because you could just share without this judgment and know that each other's got your back?
Yeah, I mean, we're both not very bitchy in the sense that even if we are like, you know, talking about something that someone's done or like, you know, having an occasional like moan about something, it doesn't really go deeper than that. And it doesn't ever, it's just quite surface level. And to the point where I know that we don't really do that by each other. We both really respect each other. And friendship wise, like we used to live in a house for like 8 girls and it was me and Nat. Nat, I was on the bottom floor. Nat was on a floor of her own and everyone else was on another floor. And even though we were all these like 8 girls that would hang out and be friends, the two of us just like had this other friendship, if you know what I mean. And we had another friend called Sarah and the three of us were a bit of a trio. And then when we left uni, the three of us stayed really close. And then my three good friends from when I was like 11 and 12 have now like merged into this group.
That's unusual, actually.
Yeah,
that is quite unusual.
My friends and my uni friends of Nat and Sarah are one group now. And we just like kind of do everything together.
Some people just don't mix their friendship groups. I mean, it's we've had long discussions about this, Alex, haven't we? Some people are like very separate, compartmentalised. And actually, one of my questions for you both, you two are so, or the three of you, so close and tight. Could anyone else break in? Or were you just, you know, your own little entity? So how did that come? You just were like, I love these people and I love these people, I want to bring them together.
It happened so naturally and kind of by accident, but me, Nat and Sarah, we'd hang out. We were also the friendship group that if you were sitting on your own in a bar or someone, we would go over to you, make friends and like pull you in for the evening. Like we were always very open in that sense. And we always cared that everyone was having a good time, even if we didn't know someone. So like close, but also very open. And then the merging of the groups happened organically because when I started up Counter Talk a couple years ago, it was all about like events and my home friends would come and help and my uni friends would come and help. So they started to get to know one another and they really got on. And then more, I think in the last couple of years, we've just sort of clicked even more. We've been on holiday together and now we're all like, you know, we have the classic WhatsApp group and we just kind of have the event. It's all of us there.
What's the WhatsApp group called?
It's called like Mykonos.
I love the random names that people always have.
Isn't it called like Mykonos Rebooked?
It's Rebooked.
Yeah.
I've got a question about arguments. It's something that I think, did we talk about in our very first episode, but we haven't touched on as much. Obviously, friends argue, especially possibly friends who've lived together or holidays together. Have you two had any big blowouts, or are you more like silent sulkers, or are you actually just managed to navigate everything argument free?
I don't remember a time when we've argued, ever.
We've had like the occasional debate about something. But we've never fallen out, touch wood, and we just kind of, I've never had a moan or a bitch about Nat, we just kind of are pretty solid. It's really rare, because I actually think arguments can be really healthy.
Yeah.
But we haven't seemed to have anything to argue about.
No, you would have thought we would, considering we spent, 18 hours a day together.
Yeah. At least like sisters, you know, it's sort of like kind of a bicker now and again.
That's impressive.
Really weird. Yeah.
But I think when you're talking about no judgment, but honesty, which is quite an interesting combination, it's like, obviously that works. It doesn't create conflict. You take each other, you trust each other. I mean, you talk about your pride for Nat, which again, it's like you're both very giving. You mentioned it a second ago that, you know, you kind of want the best for everyone at a party, or you want everyone to be having a great time. Is that what this friendship is about? Is that where that pride comes from? You want the best for your friend?
I have found in the last couple of years with my career, because I spent years, Nat knows, like in the mud, earning nothing, being a bit in the shit. And Nat seeing me through that journey to where I am now, where a lot of people say, oh, she's really successful and she's doing well. But with that has come a lot of like people who may not have had the best intentions for me recently, or like, I've found it really tough to deal with the fact that some friends don't like to see you doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But Nat is someone who just like wants to push me even further and like really cares that I do well. So that's why she's like one of my closest friends. And I think that's really important, because we're in completely different fields. Like, I've done talks at Nat's school about cooking, and Nat has come and done some.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's done talks at Counter Talk about like empowerment and how to have self-confidence at work and leadership. So we kind of are very happy for each other in separate fields. And, you know, there's not really any competition there. But I don't know. I wonder if we had the same career, maybe we'd be competitive. I don't know.
I'm not feeling it. I mean, I thought that was interesting, actually. Such different sectors, obviously such a similar start out going out into the world. I'm assuming that from a lifestyle perspective, your hours don't even collide very well, because obviously working in kitchens, Rav, that's quite antisocial. And obviously when you're working in a school, you got to get a bed and get up in the morning. So how has your friendship survived that change in your lifestyles?
I think just the serious lack of sleep. Every single time Rav has an event, she's always like, it's on a Monday. And I'm like, but why is it on a Monday? Always on a Monday. And on Tuesday, I'm always very bleary-eyed from a lack of sleep. No, I think it's no matter which industry, no matter how tired we are, I think we always make time for each other. If that means that we know that we need to talk at some really random point during the day, then that will be that. Or voice notes. We're a big fan of voice notes as well. Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, about making time for each other. That's what I would say. I don't know.
Yeah.
What
about you? Nat's been really compassionate to the point where sometimes I'll be doing like back to back, like 14, 15 like days in a row. And then Nat has a lot of compassion for the fact that she knows that I'm tired. And she'll be like, okay, I'm not going to pressure you to do this right now. Or she really gets that. Or she'll be like, oh, I'll just pop round, because she knows that I'm so exhausted that she'll come to me. And I feel like that's been really great, actually. And she supports all of my events. And yeah, we talk a lot on the phone, actually, at silly times. Because Nat also, she says this, but she's also up until 1 o'clock in the morning every day.
It's just a lot of coffee, really.
Nat, how has it been for you watching Rav's success recently as her profile's grown?
I think I've been so proud. She says pride. I also say pride. Because she's just worked so hard. I think it's only if you've known her really well and you've known her for a long time that you realise the graft that she's put in since we've left university in order to be able to get where she is now. I say pride, but it's also one of those, I knew it was going to happen because she'd worked so hard and she's amazing. So I kind of always knew, even when she was like, am I doing the right thing? I was like, nope, you are, and you will be amazing. And she is amazing. And I just know that this isn't kind of the end. It's almost like the start for her, and that she's going to go super far. She's just been amazing. And I think it is difficult. All of those people that we were talking about that might not have the best intentions. I think that security guard, bodyguard part of me comes out a little bit. And I suppose it's about being able to temper that, because it's not the same as being in a club and being able to shout at someone that Rav doesn't drink.
Yeah, yeah. You're reaching across social media now.
Exactly.
Blocking.
Hunting down trolls.
I mean, I think that's really interesting, because obviously, particularly because of social media, but it's very easy to make it look effortless. And when you've witnessed that, and you do, I mean, you do, it looks fabulous and everything you do looks incredible. And it's easy to think that that just happened. You just woke up one day and decided to do it. And I think it's really essential to remember all of that work that goes on in the background. I know, Rav, because we've had a conversation about this before, that sometimes you make many, many, many cakes in a row. I remember, I think when I spoke to you before, you'd done this kind of chocolate, trying to make the perfect chocolate cake or something like that. There were like 30 or 40 chocolate cakes. So Alex and I want to know how much of those go in that direction. How much of a feeder are you, Rav?
Well, I'm a feeder whenever Nat's around, but a lot of the time I'll make something that I know Nat loves. It's like always apple, always citrus. I always say on a dessert menu, you've got to balance it. And I always think you've got the chocolate person, you've got the creamy fruity, you've got the citrus person, and then you've got the pudding person. And I always say the citrus person is Nat. I always think about that when I write a dessert menu. And it has to be tropical, or it has to have apple, and it has to be slightly sour. But whenever I make a lot of these cakes, I'll ring her and say, oh, I've just made your dream cake. And she'll just shout, why am I not there? And like, yeah, Nat gets quite annoyed at the fact that often I'll be teasing her about it. But it's not possible for her to have some.
On Instagram, I'm always the first person to comment, even when you might not even know what it is, but I instantaneously know that it has apple in it. And I'm like, why do I not have this right now?
But then, like, for example, when she came to the pop-up, I was like, I've got to make a sorbet because Nat's coming, and Nat likes sorbet, you know. Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah,
it was so sour, delicious, amazing. Oh, it made me so happy. I also feel like I had all of the trial cakes when we were at uni. Like, yeah. You were still always baking and cooking when we were at uni, so I had all of it then.
Nat, do you cook for Rav?
Yes, Christmas, when I made you that beef Wellington.
I had Christmas Day with Nat this year.
Oh, nice.
Last year.
I've always private catered every Christmas Day to like a family that wants Christmas dinner, because it used to be my highest earning day. The first time I did it, didn't do it, was this year. It was amazing. But on my drive back, I went to Nat's house and she cooked me a whole Christmas dinner. So yeah, it was really nice.
And you attempted pastry. I mean, it's like, that's impressive.
I bought the pastry. Whoa. Making a beef Wellington was more difficult enough. I'm not about to be making the pastry.
I thought you've got a pastry chef coming to your house. What are you thinking?
But then, like, often I don't always do a lot of cooking in my house because I'm always so, like, running around. But if I'm ever in a restaurant, Nat always comes. She always comes to the restaurant I'm working at, and then I just send her loads of food. So,
oh, nice. That's a good perk of the friendship, isn't it?
Lisa, I feel like you need to up your cooking game, please.
Barely. I mean, Alex is a baker. And
oh, really?
Yeah, so she always makes...
I mean, on a very different level.
She loves it. And so that's always been one of the gaps in our friendship, is that I'm like, I'll come to you then. You make me lovely things. Going back to the letter, you wrapped it up by saying you're looking forward to this future of more of the same together, which I thought was really nice, that you just not had enough, you want many more years. What do you think that future looks like? Nat, what do you think it looks like?
I think it looks like Rav getting even bigger, even more successful. I think it looks like a lot of laughter. I think a lot more merging of people in our lives, if I'm honest as well. Yeah, I think it's just going to be filled with laughter. I know there's going to be ups and downs, but I know that no matter what, she will always be there for me. So, yeah, love, laughter, and happiness. Oh my gosh, that's so cheesy.
So so cheesy, I might get it printed as a poster, but I love it. I love everything about it. Rav, what does it look like to you?
Well, I think I really want to see Nat blossom even more because she's hit a point in her career where she's kind of at the top of her game where she is. And I want to see her start doing more for herself, actually, building a business of her own that we talk about all the time. And I know that Nat's got all these goals. Like, Nat always wanted to open a youth centre, and Nat cares so much about the future of, like, education and kids and, like, where people learn. And also she's got, a passion for helping people learn how to save their money. Like, she's just, like, a very well-intentioned human being. And I just can't wait to see what she does with all of that energy in the future. And, of course, we're going to eat loads together. We're going to hang out together, you know. And just, yeah, way more times to eat a lot of food and be silly.
Aww.
Flourishing.
Well, that sounds like a perfect future of a friendship. Look, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. I am literally, my face is aching a little bit. I feel like I've been grinning so much through the whole thing. You have such a wonderful friendship. Like, the energy is insane. So thank you so much. And thank you for sharing your letter.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having us. This was so fun.
Thank you. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Oh, as I've said with literally every single one of these, I loved that. And I loved them and their friendship, which just seemed so light and fun and sort of the kind of person I would like to be friends with. I'd like to join that group. I may start stalking them at Rav's events.
They're just so infectious, aren't they? Their energy is incredible. I mean, it's just pure laughter and positivity. And I really like that about them. And I think, once again, sitting chatting to friends who are just want the best for each other, it just shows you how unique and special a friendship can be. And I love that. I love their no judgment. I love the fact that they know they've got each other's backs and they're never at risk, never in jeopardy. It's just the ultimate safe space. It's so lovely.
And I'll be honest, I love the fact that Nat gets to be the chief taster for Rav. And I want to offer myself up as an extra taster should she be busy. And I like all the things, chocolates, citrus. So yeah.
I feel like that with you, Alex. I feel like I'm your chief taster sometimes. That's the beauty of having a friend that bakes.
It is. I think I'm a far inferior baker, unfortunately. But thanks again to Rav Gill for writing and sharing her friendship love letter to Natalie. Rav's new book, which sounds excellent, Sugar, I Love You, Knockout Recipes to Celebrate the Sweeter Things in Life, is on pre-order now for its release in October.
If you've been inspired to write a love letter to your friend, and we hope you do, because we are on a mission to reclaim love letters for the most important relationships in our lives, we want to read and hear yours. Hop over to our Love Letter to My Friend account on Instagram and DM us your letters and voice notes, and we'll put our favourites in a future episode.
We'd like to ask you a friendly favour too. If you rate and review this podcast, it will really help us to reach more people. And don't forget to subscribe so you can hear more friends share their love letters.
Thanks so much for listening, friends.
This series is the brainchild of hosts and friends Lisa Smisarski and Alex Walker, and is an II Studios production.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.